It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here to talk about Microsoft's big October. Also about the big announcements, Windows RT tablets, Windows 8 tablets. There's a lot to talk about this week on Windows Weekly. Stay here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 276, recorded August 30th, 2012. Two browsers, one brain. Windows Weekly is brought to you by GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office, Mac, or PC from any other computer or from your iPad or iPhone. Sign up for a 30-day free trial at GoToMyPC.com. Use the promo code Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Paul Thurrott, sipping a nice beverage, a little ice water.
Pure rum, Leo.
Yeah. And joining Paul, Mr. Paul Thurrott, Ms. Mary Jo Foley. We are here to talk about Windows. Lots to say, lots of news, lots of things. It is a good day for Windows.
It's always a good day for Windows.
Always a good day. It's also International Pants Optional Day, so congratulations, Paul.
I'm surprised that was the one issue you had with what you just saw.
No, actually, I'm jealous with that. I swear. Is it hot today? Is it a hot summer day?
No, it's, in denim? You know what? This has been the greatest year in the history of New England. There's no doubt about it. We had no snow over the winter. It's been a beautiful, beautiful summer.
Yeah.
But it's really funny how fall occurs here because the days are just as hot and warm as it was all August. But all of a sudden now at night and in the morning, it's cold. And the heat comes on at night. You know,
that is a weird thing, isn't it? When you have a hot day and the heat comes on at night.
Yeah, it's like this weird. Yeah. It's like someone flipped a switch and it's like, hey, it's fall. You know, even right. Did you get the memo? Because it's fall.
I like fall, actually. That's my favorite season. It was back east anyway. Because the leaves fall off the tree. People bake them in a big pile. You could jump in them. And then there's a smell of burning leaves and the pumpkins. And I don't know. I just like
fall. I live here, Leo. Thanks for the heads up. So
Mary Jo Foley, the people start falling out of buildings. It's wonderful. A wonderful time in Manhattan.
But now there's a pile of leaves they can jump into from those buildings.
Yes, that's right.
It's a little safer.
So, Mary Jo, what is the best time of year to visit Manhattan from a weather point of view? I know it's very hot and muggy in the summer. Fall, yeah.
I know. I'd say October.
Yeah.
Late September, early October.
Okay, I'm coming out.
Although, you know, it's this part of the world is weird because you may recall from that Windows 7 launch from 3 years ago, that day, it was like 90 degrees out that day.
Who could forget that?
You know?
Me.
Another good day for Windows, Leo.
We remember because we were having one of our blogger bashes and it was so hot.
Oh, that's right. You have your blogger. Are you going to have a blogger bash at the
We're going to have so many parties this fall. We're not even going to know what to do with ourselves. It is going to. No, I'm serious. You think I'm joking, but it's going to be this nonstop series of events.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, sort of. It's going to be kind of crazy. I mean,
Paul and Mary Jo have become the social gadflies of the technology sphere.
We're like the F. Scott Fitzgerald and
Zelda.
Richard's son. I don't know.
Scott and Zelda. Yeah. Let's have a party.
I have already compared this place to Paris in the 20s, so maybe that is apt.
Denim?
Well, this now, I mean,
now.
This time period.
Yeah, it's very much like Paris in the 20s, I know. I know.
IFA. Please name one way.
IFA, not in any way. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked upon as something quite shocking. Now, heaven knows, anything goes.
Gray short shorts.
Gray short shorts.
It could be the norm.
So IFA, which we've decided is not an English acronym.
By the way, I spent a lot of time on that. For a news story and decided just not to mention it.
Just call it IFA.
Because it says something like, you know, it's not the exact name, but it's IFA, or as we call it, the German Technology Show.
It is it is such a difficult word. I'll tell you, I'll try to read it because I don't speak. It's the Internationale Funkausstellung Berlin. Funkausstellung. which is I think is a radio exhibit.
Beautiful language.
I think it's a radio exhibit, but in fact, it's mobile phones mostly, right? Now,
yeah, and then this year it's been new PCs and devices based on Windows 8 and RT for some reason. It's almost like they looked at the Windows 8 RTM and then they looked at the Windows 8 GA and they said, what falls in the middle of this?
Right.
Nothing. So let's have it at the IFA.
The International Fertilizer Association.
Well, doesn't it, when you first see that acronym, doesn't it sort of, oh, this must be an Intel show of some kind.
Yeah, IFA.
It's not.
So why are neither of you in Berlin? I would take this opportunity to hie thee to Berlin.
For the record, I wish I was in Berlin. But I'm going to New Zealand tomorrow.
You are?
And then as we will soon discuss, Mary Jo and I both are traveling across Hell's Half Acre over the entire month of October. As well.
Are we going to be able to do shows from New Zealand?
Yes. I know it's going to be woefully
two in
early
morning in the morning or something.
No, it will be, I think it's going to be 6 in the morning. But I'm going to be so off schedule. What's the difference?
6 in the morning tomorrow.
I'm going to be that one guy who was like working out in the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning at the hotel because I don't know what to do with myself, that kind of person.
Somebody in the chat room said, yeah, you should have gone to Berlin. Then you could have visited Metro AG.
Oh, I know. I'm just like,
I could have been that person protesting.
Free Windows 8. Free Windows 8.
I know.
So let's start with the IFA announcements. I guess the Nokia... Nokia is at Nokia World, not at IFA, so, right? Well, I'm confused. Samsung announced some stuff. They're doing a Windows RT tablet.
Did you make a Google spreadsheet?
I did not make this spreadsheet. But one of my friends, Matthew Baxter Reynolds, made this Google spreadsheet, and it's awesome because it has all these all of the things that were announced at IFA, whether they're an RT tablet, a Windows 8 tablet. Windows APC, Ultrabook. He has a whole list of them, and it's a whole spreadsheet, which is kind of cool.
I like it. Yeah, no, it's nice.
So let's work our way down.
Yeah.
Sony, the VAIO Duo 11. It's a 11.6-inch i5 or i7 Windows. Now, when you say Win 8, or he says Win 8, does that mean it's Windows 8?
Yeah, it's a PC.
So it's a
Intel-based. Intel PC. Or AMD-based.
Got it.
Yep.
Actually, did you notice? I don't think I've seen a single PC announced as part of this couple of days that was AMD based.
Yeah. I was thinking that today.
I can't think of a single one of them.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there will be some, of course.
Yeah, there'll be the low end stuff at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Bulldozer is not so hot, apparently. That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Poor AMD.
I don't want to trash AMD because I always hear from some guy who loves AMD.
No, I love AMD. They kept Intel honest. Now, that was a while ago.
I think they've reverted to their original role as low-cost, low-end.
Cheapskates. Yeah. Okay, so that's Sony. Samsung, I liked what Samsung showed. They showed a lot of stuff. I was watching for the Galaxy Note 2, but they did what is it? Is it ATIV? ATIV?
I know.
ATV? ATIV?
They called it ACTIV, huh?
So
I have to say, between some sort of recent revelations I've had about the other Samsung Windows phones I've had and the newer Nokia phone that I have, the Samsung Ultrabook that I just bought based on the previous Samsung Ultrabook that I borrowed, I'm coming around to the whole Samsung thing. You know,
me too.
They remind me of Kia in that I've suddenly noticed Kia vehicles on the road everywhere, and they're always really nice looking. And I'm surprised because they seem to have come out of nowhere. And I feel like Samsung is kind of riding the crest of this new generation of PC makers wave or whatever. And I wouldn't be surprised if I end up with a Samsung Windows phone and a Samsung Windows device of some kind.
Well, the Samsung 9s are gorgeous. They announced the ATIV phone, which is a nice 4.8-inch phone. That's the biggest Windows phone that's Windows 8 phone, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Is Windows 8 – this was kind of surprising for me. The Windows 7 phones were all very much the same. Microsoft set a very clear standard for what they were to be.
Yeah.
Is that same thing going to happen with Windows 8 phones?
Well, we don't know yet, but I would say no. There are different screen resolutions.
Ah.
I don't think you're going to see crazy form factors per se, but – I don't know. Even the Nokia entry into the market has changed the way these things look. I mean, Nokia has three or four. Yeah. And not just the high end, you know, 8900s, but the, you know, the 610 and what's the other one? The 710, I think, are, you know, they're styled differently than the other phones.
Yeah. It's, I think, good to have some
choice.
Heterogeneity.
Yeah. Well,
speaking
yes.
as someone yes. who just came out of a closet in shorts, I think you should agree with me on that.
Diversity is this country's greatest strength, Leo.
Thank you very much.
is how I would put it.
That's thank you very much, Mr. President. So they announced a Windows RT. All of this is under the ATIV. We're going to have to learn how to pronounce it because it's all under the ATIV brand.
Is that how it's pronounced, ATIV?
We don't know. I haven't heard anybody actually say it, so I don't know.
I saw a
pronouncer. Please be at four.
Oh, no. No. I saw a pronouncer, and now I can't remember what it was yesterday. I think it's ATIV.
ATIV.
Yeah. Let me Google. Samsung ATIV pronunciation. That's Google's so good about this thing. It's amazing. You can actually search the internet, the internet, and find it. Here it is. How to pronounce Samsung? No, I don't. I don't really need that.
Samsung.
That's pretty cool. Samsung is pronounced Samsung. Let me see if difficult.
I told you about my secret love affair with the announcer on the Paris Metro, right? When you pull into the, she's like, Louvre.
I like the woman on SNCF, you know, the ta 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 da. I love that.
Oh my God, yeah. I know that's I want that to be my ringtone.
Ta 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 da. Yep. Just makes you happy to be on a train.
It makes you excited to be there, yeah. I agree.
Ta 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 da. So, The Verge says it rhymes with a leave.
Oh, jeez. It has similar effects.
That doesn't
a team.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
A
oh
team.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Is that a leave?
A leave. No, I'm actually bemoaning something that just happened. Have you ever heard of the Biscoff cookie?
I don't think so.
It's very popular, I believe, in the UK, isn't it? Biscoff? Does that sound familiar? Yeah? And somebody has delivered a number of jars of something called Biscoff spread, which is the Biscoff cookie turned into a – they puree it. And it turns it into kind of a peanut buttery substance. Can I open this, John? And we were talking about it on. Oh my God! So that's pureed cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Put it on toast.
Biscoff spread is a delicious European alternative to peanut butter. What it really is kind of Nutella-ish.
I was going to say it's not what Nutella is.
Yeah. It says this sweet spread is excellent on toast. Yeah. Exactly. It's so they puree Biscoff cookies, and there's two kinds. There's that was the creamy, and this is the crunchy.
And it's actual crumbled cookies.
It's not even Oh my God.
Eggs.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but our shipment right. arrived, and I. Wow.
No digestion required for that one.
No, it's pre-chewed. Okay.
Just enjoy that.
Wow. That's good. Oh, dear. Diabetes in a jar, says Club 54. Moving on. ATIV, as in, is it ATIV? That doesn't sound right.
All right, well, we don't know.
Whatever it is.
I can't believe that nobody knows. So, wasn't somebody at the event? I'm gonna pull up the video.
I'm intrigued by the use of Atom processors in so many of these machines.
This thing horrible.
I feel like they should have rebranded it because the Atom name to me has such a bad connotation. It means low end crap that barely works.
Right.
And I don't understand. I know it's getting better. I know that these systems are essentially the Intel based versions of an ARM chip in the sense that they're a system on a chip. I know they're getting a lot better again, you know, next year and all that stuff, but I just see the word Atom, and I think I don't want that one, you know?
Yeah, they're not.
These are actually Clover Trail, right? These are the Clover Trail chips in here.
Yeah, they're better.
Yeah, the next gen.
They shouldn't call them Atoms. They shouldn't call them Atoms.
They should call them something else.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like they also have a new Celeron, which is a name that will go down in infamy. That's just dumb, Intel. Don't call it a Celeron.
Does it still come on a giant plastic card that I have to slide into a slot on the motherboard?
Celeron. You know? That's just not a good name. The new Atoms are, Menace in their chat room says Pentium Pros. That can't
Pentium
be.
Pentium Pros?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a blast from
the past. Saying that should be the new name?
Yeah, Pentium Pro.
Okay. I was going to say in 1996, we had a Pentium Pro processor in our web server, you know.
Right.
That's a long, long time ago.
So, okay, well, let's go back to the spreadsheet. We have the Ativ, just like Aleve. I guess that's growing on me, Ativ. The Ativ, a tab, Ativ tab.
I actually wish, I wish for the phone they had stuck with Focus.
Yeah, Focus is good.
But I guess they're going for this
across the line, it's Ativ.
Right, the phone is Ativ S.
Right.
Samsung.
So they have PCs, Windows 8 PCs, one on the Atom, one on the i5. They have a dual-core Ativ tab for Windows RT. It's obviously a ARM chip. That'll be 10.1 inches. Samsung makes its own ARM processors, so presumably they'll use their own.
Interesting.
Dell is going to do... a lot of people are doing Windows RT tablets. Were you surprised by the number? Dell's doing one. Asus is doing one.
Well, no, I wasn't actually surprised.
But Samsung?
You know what I was surprised about, though? I saw in somebody's review of the Dell Windows RT tablet, maybe it was Paul's even, or his article about it. It said 20-hour battery life is what they're promising for that. Yeah,
and that's always been without knowing the details, the thing we've always held out on for ARM is, you know, really thinner and lighter and smaller, but the battery life is supposed to be the big thing, right? And so would you give like desktop apps for like 2.5 times the battery life? Yeah, maybe, you know, that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Even if it's not 20, even if it's anything like 12 or over, 17. I'll be excited. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's big if that's true. Yeah. The other thing I heard before we get off of Samsung completely, and I'm trying to look this up to see if this is true. Somebody wrote into me and said, did you notice that Samsung is referring to their phones as Windows 8 phones, not as Windows Phone 8 handsets?
You know, it's funny because I was saying Windows 8 phones, and I thought, oh, no, that's wrong.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about that, and I don't see I never saw a press release for the phone. There's a press release for their devices and PCs, but not for the phone.
On the phone, all the information's on Microsoft's website about
and Microsoft, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're
calling it Windows Phone 8.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't verify that, but that's interesting. And, you know, Windows Phone, like Atom, you know, has a bad name in the sense that people have this idea it hasn't sold well, and maybe this is a dog I should avoid, which is too bad because, you know, Windows Phone is, of course, great. Renaming it to Windows 8 Phone actually wouldn't be such a horrible idea. Well, I mean, just from a marketing standpoint.
But here's the perception, and correct me if I'm wrong. I just saw somebody say a couple of days ago, oh, I want my computer and phone to be the same platform.
Somebody said that.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, I mean, that was a consumer. I mean, I wonder if that might be a perception that Microsoft would like to encourage, that it's an ecosystem. You get a phone, you get a tablet, and you get a PC.
This is a rabbit hole we're never going to recover from, but let me throw two things by you, and I'm just curious what you think about these things. One is, somebody asked if if Windows 8 and or RT would run Windows Phone apps, and the answer is no.
No.
Now, the obvious retort to that is, well, why not? You know, it seems like they should be able to run those things. My dad is in the market. My dad has an iPad now, and he wants to buy a phone. And I showed him that the current iPhone, the screen is really – he's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's bigger than I am. And I said, there's no way you could use an iPhone today. The screen is just too small. But they are coming out with a new one as soon as the next 30 days. You should wait for that. But I said, but why – I mean, why do you want an iPhone? Why not just go get an Android phone? They have these Android phones with huge screens and – and he said that somebody told him that he would want the apps to be the same.
Yep. But
now
it isn't.
But there actually some benefit to a normal person for that to be the case.
Yes, other than the they fact don't have you don't to have learn to something new, and they don't have to buy new stuff. It's all the same. I wanted to cross. This is, you know, what the analog is in this new responsive design in on the web, where instead of having a separate mobile page and a desktop page, all web pages look this. You know, work on all platforms.
They adapt.
And I think that maybe that's the end. Look at this. This Let's in our chat room just gave me this link. Washington Post. Samsung's Ative S is the first Windows 8 phone.
Well, that could be them getting it wrong too, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm saying that this is the perception.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad perception in this case,
good
right?
For Microsoft.
Although I'm waiting for the first complaint I get from someone that says, God, I just bought one of these Windows 8 phones. It doesn't have a desktop.
Right.
You said that the desktop is available in every version of Windows
8. I tried to put my Microsoft Office on it, and it didn't work.
Right. By the way,
Leon Zandman in the chat room is confirming that the Samsung executive says it's a Windows 8 phone. Mm. So they are encouraging this.
You mix it up. Mix it up.
I don't know what I'm listening to right now, but I believe it's...
And we've turned into New York City morning DJs.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the ad. I got to skip the ad. Here we go.
The experience of a Windows 8 phone.
Windows 8 phone.
With a fast dual-core processor and a 4.8-inch HD Super AMOLED display.
But now, see, I never say AMOLED.
Sure.
Maybe this guy's just confused.
Sure. I think he's confused.
He's on a giant stage.
But this is a giant phone right behind him, too.
It measures in at just 8.7 millimeters thin. And even with a generous 2,300 milliamp battery.
That's a big battery.
Did he say aluminium yet?
He will.
Smartphone with exception.
No, isn't it made out of liquid, what is it, molten titanium? What are they using? Something...
That's
the surface.
Full performance.
Right.
What's more amazing?
It's the lifestyles of the rich and famous phone owners. So they say Windows 8 phone. Now, maybe this guy is, I mean, he's obviously a spokesmodel. Maybe he's an executive.
I feel like I should say hi to Leon in the chat room.
Why is that?
Because I feel like I know this person. I correspond with him fairly regularly via email and on Twitter and... But I've never met him. And now here he is in the chat room.
Here's the guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Ative S.
Ative. We now know the Ative S.
But who knows what else he said wrong?
He said super AMOLED.
Who says that?
It's AMOLED, right? Am I wrong?
Here at IFA Berlin.
IFA Berlin with a super AMOLED. Ative. No, it's a Tav. It's a Windows 8 phone.
Etav.
Applause.
This is a premium smartphone that delivers the integrated piece experience of a Windows 8 phone.
Did he say the integrated piece experience? I'm confused. Anyway, presumably he is reading a script provided for him by Samsung. So they are calling it a Windows 8 phone. I think they're playing this up.
It's a dangerous game, Leo.
It's a double-edged sword.
Unless this is, in fact, the secret, right, that this thing will be renamed to that. How neat would that be?
But is it – so what is the perception then among the general public when you say – You can now get, well, but see, Microsoft blew it because they don't call the tablets Windows 8 tablets.
Right. By the way, the other interesting thing about all these tablets is half of them at least come with styluses.
Yeah.
Right? One of the big things that's been talked up is this notion of a Wacom style stylus that combined with whatever the sensor is in the screen that allows like something like 1,000 different pressure or gradients of pressure. Right? Didn't we all agree collectively that nobody wants these things 10, 5, 7 years ago,
no,
whatever it was?
No. I mean, Steve Jobs decided that for us.
Well, that's what I meant by us collectively.
But you're right. I mean, that was the conventional wisdom. Is this is where, you know, here's a convertible Windows XP tablet from HP, and it has, of course, a big ass stylus.
And by the way, that is still a fine looking machine. It's like a first generation iPad, Leo.
It's a little Brobdingnagian. I'm trying to get this.
A generous 2 hours of battery life.
Here it is. I was trying to find the eject stylus button because there's a special button. And then the stylus comes popping out, and there it is. But on the other hand, we were just talking about the Galaxy Note. And one of the reason people like the Galaxy Note is because it's a phone with a stylus.
So. Oh, even on the iPad, I bet one of the top 10 accessories is stylus.
But the iPad does not have pressure sensitivity. And that's what the
Samsung
stuff does. And that's what's kind of interesting.
No, right. So people have made beautiful painting type things on an iPad. Imagine what they could do with a device that has that pressure sensitivity.
I mean,
the possibilities are amazing. But then they always have been. It's just that nobody ever bought these things. You know? I wonder if these companies are using their stockpiles of old stylus devices from previous machines or something, but probably not. But it's interesting to me that so many of those things are in there.
I think it is. I agree. I think it's, and I think one of the things Apple decided was, it should be very intimate. You should be touching the screen. And as it turns out, people kind of still want a stylus. It's interesting.
It's another thing you can lose. You know, it's good stuff.
That's the real problem.
And no stylus on Windows RT tablets, right?
So here's the thing. Somebody emailed me about this today. What you just said is correct. None of the Windows RT tablets that have been announced thus far come with a stylus or have one as an option, as far as I know. However, Windows RT does support exactly the same stylus capabilities as does Windows 8. This is verified in Microsoft's MSDN documentation. I apologize to the person who emailed me this day. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but it is there. My guess is that it's just not as well understood on that side as it is on the PC side because, as I was just joking, PC makers have, in fact, been creating stylus-based PCs for years and years. And so, Windows 8 is an evolution of those capabilities. They can adapt software. I think the Sony in particular has software that is made specifically for the stylus. That they've decided to go that route. And maybe because for some of Sony's big markets in the Far East, that's actually a big deal, right? The ability to write in your own handwriting on the machine is a bigger deal for those languages. So Windows RT, maybe it's just less of a known quantity, and maybe that's something that will happen over time.
It's a very interesting. Is the Surface after now? Okay. And by the way, the rumors that we heard HP wasn't going to do one right away, they didn't announce one. Lenovo, we don't know. They didn't announce anything.
Well, Lenovo announced some other stuff. It's weird. Lenovo announced Windows 7 PCs that will be upgradable to Windows 8. Well, it's not as lame as it sounds. Their IdeaPad desktop machine is big screen, multi-touch. The screen kind of comes down so you can write on it as if at a drafting table. It's designed for Windows 8. They're just releasing it now for Windows 7. So, it's not that lame. And we know that that Lenovo is working on a Windows RT device, the Yoga Flip, and we know that they're working on
They've had that for over a year. They showed the Yoga a long time.
Yeah, so that's coming out this fall. That will be out this fall too. Yeah. So they just haven't announced that yet. They will.
Does it look like the Class Act is going to be the Surface? Do we know? But we still don't know much. I mean, for instance, 20 hours battery life. They've never claimed any battery life for the Surface, right?
How I would say this is a lot of these machines look very similar. They're tablets that have a base you clip onto that makes it look like a clamshell ultrabook. A lot of them look like that. Mm-hmm. There's one Dell design that's a little strange. It looks like their old Duo machine where there's a frame that the screen kind of swivels within, which I'm a little dubious of, but it looks pretty good. But I would say, by and large, most of these machines look very similar. The one thing about the Surface is that it's very unique. It has a very unique set of keyboard cases, right, of two types and different colors. It's a laptop first. I'm sorry, it's a tablet that you can add a keyboard to. And, of course, you could add any keyboard. You could add a Bluetooth keyboard of any kind if you wanted to. But it very specifically has this integrated keyboard case. And I think they went for the pure, unique tablet type approach with this one. Whereas I think these other guys are kind of hedging their bets, which makes sense, by the way, that, here's a tablet, which we think you want, but here's also a laptop because we know you need that. And it's a form factor that people are comfortable with. So I think the short version, Surface is kind of like the design thing. You know, it's a purposely forward-looking, I guess.
Was I right to tell people who are looking for Windows machines today, do not, well, not today, but a month ago or a week ago, do not buy a machine yet. Wait and see if the Windows 8 machines have more specific features.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
These look like they're better machines for Windows.
They 8. Do look really good. Again, I'm curious about the Atom ones. I want to see if those are any good. But and I'm very curious about RT, of course, and ARM. But yeah, I so far these look very interesting. I mean, very similar to each other in a way, but also clear differentiation between, say, PC and Mac, especially because the Mac doesn't have anything like this, where screens detach and they become tablets and everything.
They're
on the Apple side, you have to buy, you buy two different devices over there. So, yeah, very interesting. And I know from my own sort of limited experience playing with a tablet in Windows 8 that a lot of the complaints about Metro and where things are in the UI and how weird it is go away when you actually use a tablet, because then all of a sudden it all makes sense. When you're holding a tablet and you swipe in with your thumb to bring up the charms, or you want to hit those buttons that are on a big PC screen or in weird places, when you're holding it, they're in very natural places, you know. So
this Dell XPS Duo looks really kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely. I mean, I don't. It'll be hard to say. It's such a departure.
Sure.
But it's really intriguing.
The thing that's nice about a design like that is it's always one machine, right? With a lot of these detachable, clamshell keyboard docks, you basically are left with two things, you know. And so when you're on a plane, you're like, well, I'm just going to watch movies or whatever. I don't need the keyboard part of it. You know, you have to detach it. But also you lose the benefit of the battery that's in that base when you do that. Whereas with the Dell, the screen swivels around. It's essentially a convertible laptop. It's a different type of design.
It's a different way because it kind of flips over.
Yeah, so it's a little bigger and heavier, but
Asus
you get the benefit.
Is doing one that's kind of a more traditional, just, you know, tablet detaching from its keyboard.
A lot of those. You're going to see dozens and dozens of those.
Yeah. And this is, again, this is Windows 8. This is not Windows RT.
Yeah, but you'll see dozens, I think, on both.
Yeah.
You know, both of us.
Well, that's going to confuse matters because they'll look the same, won't they?
You know, again, this is a general observation. There's no reason for this to be the case. But for right now, I'd say based on what we've seen, the RT versions tend to be smaller.
Okay.
You know, you're seeing 10, 11 inches.
Right.
Generally, not always, but generally. And then the PC versions, you know, the Intel versions are 13 or, you know, 12.5 inches, 13 inches.
Right.
And up, you know. So it's not always. It's not perfect.
But
like that,
will your father be confused?
My father's confused by everything technological, Leo. So, yes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they, you know, when you're in a store, how they differentiate this. Like, these are the ones that run your existing apps; these ones don't. But
that's
they're both
the problem,
Windows,
isn't it?
Right.
Yep. Yeah. That if it's appearing, especially if you call it a Windows 8 phone. It's appearing, there's the appearance that you have the same operating system. It looks the same operating system across the whole line. And then you have to tell them, oh, but you have to buy different apps.
Yep.
Can't we just get along? Why don't we solve that? Can we solve that?
I don't think we can.
We can't just all get along? We can't?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Could Microsoft have done that? No, because ARM and Intel, too different.
No, I don't. Yeah, I think they're.
I think they could have done it if they named the operating system on an ARM tablet something that didn't have the word Windows.
Well, notice that's why maybe it's not Windows 8. It's a tablet. It's Windows RT. So
it's
that's
still Windows,
clear.
Though.
Right. It's still mostly Windows.
Windows.
It's mostly the same.
They've almost used it too much. You know, over the years they had Windows CE, which wasn't really Windows. You know, they've had. Obviously, for a while, it was NT and 9X. You know, there's various embedded forms of Windows. All these things that have Windows, you know, Windows Live, you know, things that aren't really Windows.
That was Microsoft's mission statement, was Windows everywhere.
Yeah, we didn't know they meant applying it to branding, you know.
not we're talking about Windows PC everywhere, but Windows.
Oh, no, that's silly. No, we're going to put Windows, we're going to put the Windows name on everything.
Of the three, of Dell, HP, Asus, do you have a favorite PC that you like? for Windows 8. This Envy looks pretty nice, too. I'm not a big HP fan. I know you are, Paul, but I HP PCs, I don't know.
I like the Envy laptops, so yeah. The Envy one actually does look pretty good to me. But I need to see these things. I mean,
again, detachable kind of screen, yeah. Tablet,
yeah,
form,
no,
factor.
It's not bad. I mean, I actually think the two all-in-one designs I've seen both look very good.
Yeah.
The Dell one and the Lenovo. Those are interesting. I like the notion of, you know, reaching out, grabbing your huge screen, pulling it toward you at an angle and kind of,
right.
You know, you can touch it and play games or you can write on it or whatever. I could picture creative people doing that. I mean, I think that the larger canvas afforded by that kind of a screen will be interesting to people. But as far as these portable devices.
I thought the Vio Duo looked really interesting. Of all the ones that looked different, I thought that it looks more like the Surface than the other ones in a way.
Right. It does.
But I don't know. I haven't tried any of these, obviously, since I wasn't in Berlin and I didn't go to the Surface launch. But I still really like the look of the Surface. And I really, really hope that it lives up to its potential and the keyboards are really good and the weight, the battery life and all work out. I still really think the Surface is... And the reason I really like it is it's different. It, like when you have it, people are going to go, wow, what is that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? Even if the keyboard isn't that great, like I said, it's a computer. So right. It will still work fine with a – you can buy decent portable keyboards, you know. Obviously, that's not ideal. I mean, the all-in-one nature of that thing is what makes it special. But I have a feeling the Microsoft one is going to be excellent.
In order to get all the guts in these Windows 8 tablets / convertibles, you've got to make them pretty thick. I'm noticing this Sony Vaio Duo is a fairly it's not a thin tablet because you've got to have an Intel processor and all that on the guts in there, right? The keyboard's just an add-on. Everything's in the screen.
Well, I think it depends on the device. I mean, I think, and again, I need to see one of these to be sure, but I believe these Atom-based machines are an answer to that, where I think that the chipset for those machines, in fact, is more similar
lighter
to all.
Weight. Yeah.
Right, smaller size, thinner, et cetera.
Interesting. Boy, Microsoft making such a huge bet on this. This is a huge departure. And, you know, one of the things I think when you go in the store and you look at it, because Windows 8 looks so different, because of the Metro styling, you look at those screens and immediately you go, those are different and they belong together somehow. Because even though it's Windows RT, it's the same screen. That start screen looks the same.
It's also dangerous, though. It's the same screen. We have the same screen on Xbox, on Windows Phone, on RT, on Windows. These things all don't do the same thing. I mean, they're not all the same.
Right.
Not exactly. I realize RT and Windows 8 are largely the same, but... that's where you get caught up. And I think that's Mary Jo will recall at Build, you know, somebody asked, well, how are you going to differentiate these things? And I think Sanofsky said, you know, we have a plan for that. You know? And just naming them Windows 8 and RT hopefully was not the plan, because there needs to be some plan for differentiating these things. It's going to be very confusing.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Sure.
Do you want to talk about the Apple Samsung thing at all? By the way, an interesting story just came out. Let me see if I can find this.
Yeah, I think it's the Reuters, right?
Yeah, Reuters. About LTE. Was that the one you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I was thinking also Reuters just came out and said, by the way, Apple and Google execs privately met today talking about patent issues, the CEOs.
Interesting.
Hopefully they set up a red phone.
This is from Apple Insider. It says, Samsung to sue Apple over LTE patents. Remember that Samsung has a 3G patent that Apple's been infringing on, according to some courts. Apple, if they do an LTE iPhone, according to some... Samsung executives say, we will sue. We will partner with Microsoft to avoid Android lawsuits. So this is the Korean Times saying, Samsung confirmed it will immediately sue Apple if the latter releases products using LTE. That would be the new iPhone. Of course, there are LTE iPads, so I'm not sure about that.
Yep.
And that, let me see if I can find the Microsoft part here. You know, Microsoft and Samsung, Microsoft gets money from Samsung, do they not, for every Android phone?
Yep. They signed a patent deal with them.
Right. The article says, or cites unnamed officials saying that Samsung is closely partnering with Microsoft to cut its dependency on Google Android. Oh, boy, that's interesting.
Yeah.
While at the same time stating that Samsung has been in talks with major U.S. carriers to jointly develop modified design technology. Do you think maybe there'll be a Samsung Windows 8 phone?
Well,
there
great.
Is.
That's
the
team. Maybe that's what they're talking about? Or do you think that they'll modify Android to look more like something? I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe this is just that Windows 8 phone.
I don't know. Now that this Windows stuff exists, I mean, there's no reason. If you look across Samsung's devices, product lines, phones and tablets, I mean,
wouldn't that be an interesting way to respond to that lawsuit? Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Sure. And what a chilling message would that send
to Google,
to the rest of the the Android ecosystem. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, I mean, obviously Google Android phones have been a big deal, but the Android stuff hasn't really taken off in the tablet space.
Right.
Despite multiple attempts there. And, you know, maybe they'll see Windows as more of a fertile ground for that kind of thing.
Right. And here's a fun, I don't know, somebody just sent me this. It's almost Surface release day. This is a countdown clock to the release of the Windows RT version of Surface.
I assume this is also a countdown. Then this is just a countdown to October 26th.
Right. 56 days, 9 hours, 59 minutes, 43 seconds. It's just made up. I like it, though.
God, I don't like looking at those numbers.
That's not long.
It's coming up quick.
2 months.
I know.
Are you going to write a book on Windows RT, Paul?
Actually, one of the things I talked to... Don't laugh, Mary Jo.
Windows RT secrets.
You have failed me for the last time.
No, I tried. I tried.
One of the things I talked to Wiley about was taking the Windows 8 Secrets book and modifying it and putting out like an ebook version only, maybe that would just be for RT. You know, getting rid of the stuff that didn't apply to RT and just recasting it in an RT only vein. But I don't know. And I don't know if there's really a point to that. I mean, the book itself, the book that we did write, applies to Windows RT. So
yeah, remember, they're all the same.
Except for that chapter on desktop, you might want to skip that. And in the storage chapter, I would just pretend that storage spaces didn't exist.
It's imaginary. Imaginary. Boy, Samsung kind of stepped in it with this. They talked a little bit about they're going to put a start button on their Windows 8 tablets. A start utility.
Okay, can I give a background on this thing?
Yeah, what's the story on that?
Yeah, so this to me was a really interesting story this week. Samsung was showing off some of their tablets and Windows 8 devices. They showed it with this thing called the S Launcher, which is a start button and something that would look more familiar to people who are used to the start button and the existing start experience. So Mashable said, yeah, they're gonna ship this on Windows 8 PCs. And then Ed Bott talked to them over at IFA, I think, and they said, no, we're not. We're not going to ship this on new PCs.
Oh.
Well, I pinged Samsung today and said, so are you or aren't you? And they said, we're not sure. We'll get back to you on that.
Oh, wow. They're testing the water. This is ugly. There are so many better ways to do this if you wanted to do it. That's just hideous.
I don't like this kind of thing.
No.
Yeah. I don't.
And I
don't
do.
Think PC makers
and you do.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, but no, what I mean is I don't think a PC maker should put this on Windows.
You know, Stardock and others make
such things. I don't care that
those things
exist. I just don't think PC makers should put those on it.
Yeah. I think my point when everybody was saying, this is stupid. Why is Microsoft letting them do this? And why can they do this? They're wrecking the beautiful experience of the start screen and all. But you know what you have to think about? I say, people, there are a bunch of people who are not going to try Windows 8 because when they see that UI, they're going to be like, whoa, I don't even recognize this. Like, what the heck? There are people who love the new UI. And they're excited to try new things. And there are people who don't. And so if you're a Windows fan, wouldn't you rather have people buy Windows 8, even if the only way they'll buy it is to have this? Like, it'll get them in the door, at least, if you're objecting to this, know. You know?
I say leave those people for dead, Mary.
I vote
wow. that they wake up and the caravan's just gone. No, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, I think that a lot of the kind of knee-jerk reaction to the start menu or start button being gone is resolved simply by realizing that it's okay.
Right.
You know, that
right.
it doesn't, it's not horrible using it the way it is.
Right.
But
yeah, I like giving people a choice. And if Samsung puts this on there and people don't want it, they can kill it off of there. Right? Like
yeah.
they can go,
yeah,
no,
you don't
no,
have
just,
to use it.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing I added to the show notes is that on a lot of Dell PCs today, I think all of them, they add a weird launcher program as an alternative to the taskbar in Windows 7 that looks just like the Mac OS X dock.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think it's called Rocket Launcher or something
yeah.
like that.
Wow.
I have no idea why they do that. But, you know, this type of thing
That's
happens all
add.
The time. Yeah, the other thing I would point out, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but in the same way that PC makers can today add a certain number of buttons to the Windows 7 taskbar, a certain number of icons to the Windows 7 start menu, they are able to modify and add a certain number of tiles to the Windows 8 start screen. And you know they're going to destroy it. In fact, depending on how you look at this stuff, it's almost like their job. You know, they're still addicted to this penny ante business of signing these deals with little companies to put their stupid utilities and trialware and crapware and stuff on PCs because it's such a low margin business. And that's why they do that stuff. So
right.
you're going to see it. I mean, those beautiful Windows 8 PCs we just saw, they're all going to be mucked up
yeah.
with all kinds of you know, crapware. And that's why I talk about Signature so much, the Microsoft program, because when you buy a PC through the Microsoft Store, you get the same PC, but you don't get all the crap. And it's not any more expensive. I think that's just a big deal. And I sound, just yeah. even as I say that, I sound like some bizarre Microsoft cheerleader. But seriously, I really do feel like the Microsoft Signature thing is a great, great thing.
No, in fact, you said it. And I think it's the new ad slogan. It's not horrible the way it is.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, sucks less.
You know? It's just not horrible.
Is it going to be easier, though, to get rid of all the crapware if they're in the form of, like, tiles? You know,
actually, yes. So one of the nice things about the Metro stuff is that from the start screen, when you right click one of those tiles, you get the option to remove it from the start screen, but you also get the option to uninstall it. And when you add a Metro style app to Windows 8 or RT, it can only put a tile there, one single tile. That's all it can do. So, you know, anyone who's installed Office or Visual Studio or any of the other big programs on Windows 8 knows it kind of splashes this collection of up to 25 icons across the start screen. It's a mess. That's not going to be the case with Metro style apps. And so, yeah, I mean, you could, you know, do what we've always done, which is just remove the stuff you don't want and make an image backup and then restore from there, you know. Or actually with PC restore, the way that, with the PC refresh and PC reset, those features in Windows 8 now, it can come back with, you know, it can come back the way it was before for you with Metro. And so you won't get that stuff back anyway. And so it's nice.
Will there be a Signature Windows 8 Signature PCs?
Yeah, actually. And I should also warn people, unfortunately, that PC makers are going to be able to get their tendrils into PC reset and PC refresh. So it's actually possible that those things will be usurped. So that the thing you reset, you could refresh. One of the things you could do is refresh it or reset it.
Set it back to the way it was.
To a factory refresh setting, which is, in this case, in this odd case, is one of those times you may not want to do that.
It's the bring back the crap button.
Yeah, exactly. Put back the crap. And it's so fast this time, Leo. It's a huge benefit of Windows 8. but yeah, there is going to be a Windows 8 version of the Signature PC program, definitely. In fact, I'm hoping that I can do we did that focus study for Windows 7 Signature here in Dedham. And may, if things go well, perhaps we'll do another one of those, although it will probably be in a different part of the country this time.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Not in Dedham. I don't know what they have against Dedham.
Yeah. I don't know why they had it in Dedham in the first place.
Dedham is the center of the East Coast computing scene, Leo.
Is it really? Are you on Route 128?
I am. Actually, you can see Route 128 from my house.
All right. There you go.
But
no,
you
so
can't
you're
see
right.
from Route 128 or any of those PC companies that used to be there.
But Digital Equipment Corporation, that used to be right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Dedham where, like, all the deck engineers lived? Was that, like, are you, like, is no, it, I like, think, that?
Yeah, yeah, like a bedroom community for deck engineers, yeah, or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, sort of.
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Cool.
Sure.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about October. The October surprise. It's coming up in just a second. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Our Windows experts. And we will talk about a very exciting October just around the corner. But first, let's talk about GoToMyPC. The best way to get to your computer as you head out and about for the final days of summer. Maybe you want to get one last trip in. Put GoToMyPC on your computer before you leave, Mac or PC, and then you'll be able to access that computer, run any program, send and receive email, access any network resource, wherever you are, on your laptop, of course, but also on your iPad or your iPhone. It turns your iPad or iPhone into your office computer, so you can be away from the office but still get stuff done. It can work just like, in fact, it's kind of cool if you get a chance to see it. The apps are free, by the way. It's funny on an iPhone to be running an iPhone and then be able to get full access to Windows, no matter where you are or back. On vacation with the family by the pool, at the beach, from your backyard, it's easy to set up, completely secure. You don't need the help of IT. You don't need to open holes in the firewall or anything like that. It uses something called NAT Traversal at 128-bit SSL to make it the most secure product out there. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Here's what you do. You visit the website, GoToMyPC.com. GoToMyPC.com. And, you know, you can browse around if you're kind of interested in what's going on with GoToMyPC. You want to know more about the features. They've got a lot of information there on the website. But once you're satisfied that you think this free trial is a good idea, and it's free, so why not? Click that orange button. Try it free. And we have a special promo code we'd ask you to use. Windows, W-I-N-D. That, even if you're going to put it on the Mac, it's short for Windows Weekly. We just wanted to make you type the whole name of the show. Use that offer code Windows, and you can try it free for 30 days. GoToMyPC.com. It is truly, truly awesome. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, October, the big month. We got lots of announcements. Shall we run through them?
Sure. Why I could not? Do a schedule run
would you,
through.
Would you
Why
do
not?
That? Why not, Mary Jo?
I'd be happy to.
You're
so,
in charge.
Everybody knows I love schedules and code names. Two of my favorite things. Roadmaps.
You're a little OCD, yeah. I think. I think it's I obvious. Am. Do you make lists as well?
No lists.
No lists, okay.
There has to be a line drawn somewhere.
Well, the most important thing will be the Blogger Bash, but we'll get to that.
Right. So we're in September now, right? So in the next few weeks, you're going to see some ramp-ups, a lot of handset announcements probably, starting with the Samsung Ative, as we decided
we now
to
know.
Pronounce. It's, we now know.
As in Aleve.
Exactly. Next week, Nokia probably going to show some Windows Phone 8 handsets.
Did they did not show a tablet at IFA, right? So they could conceivably do that in New York at Nokia World.
Maybe. Yeah, they might. They might do that. HTC also probably mid-September announcing some Windows Phone 8 handsets. But then October is when everything really starts picking up steam. So there's going to be the Windows 8 launch. So everybody already knew Windows 8 is going to be available generally to the public on October 26th. But we found out this week the launch event is October 25th, the day before, in New York City somewhere. And we don't know where yet. We don't know if they're going to do a Midnight Madness thing or what they're going to do exactly. But that is going to be when the big hoopla is, which is going to be the day before general availability. Then 3 days later, October 29th, somewhere on the West Coast, either San Francisco or Los Angeles, we're hearing, is where the Windows Phone launch is going to be, the big consumer launch for Windows Phone 8. So even though people are showing handsets and talking it up, you're actually not going to be able to get the handsets probably until early November, from what we're hearing. And the actual launch event is October 29th. So in between there, there's a lot of traveling back and forth between the two coasts for everybody. Then we've got the Build conference right after the Windows Phone 8 launch, which is going to be in Redmond, October 30th through November 2nd is Build. And that's where we're going to have our Build Blogger Bash, which is going to be on October 30th. And we've even got a little deal for people. We're almost out of tickets to that. But if you're listening to the show and you use the promo code Windows and you go to the BuildBloggerBash.com site, they're going to let you get a discounted ticket. There aren't many left, but there is going to be a wait list. So you can get on the wait list for the big Blogger Bash.
I'm going to work the line.
And there's also, we're going to be.
When you say work the line, do you mean
the people who can't get in?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. If you give us a tip, maybe we'll get you in. Who knows?
By tip, she means cash.
Tip. That kind of tip. Not a product tip. Money.
Car, right?
I have one of my friends said he was going to bring me some bottles of Founders Rare Beers to try to get in. Oh. So we'll see.
Now that should work. That might work.
We can be bought. We can be bought.
Now, tell us about the features of the Build Blogger Bash. Everybody's anybody will be there.
Yes.
Yes.
There's bowling also. We're having it at Lucky Strike.
Bowling at the Build Blogger Bash?
Yes.
Boy, oh boy.
If you've been to a Microsoft event that's in the Redmond area over the past 10 years that Microsoft has hosted.
Yeah, a lot of bowling.
You've gone to Lucky Strikes.
Oh, really?
Because they always have an event at Lucky Strikes. It's in Bellevue.
Lucky Strikes means fine parties.
And it's not cigarettes.
No.
It's about
bowling, exactly. Strikes and bowling. You could call it Lucky Spares.
You could, but it's called Lucky Strikes.
Okay.
And I believe it's not just bowling, right? Don't they have other games like like basketball games and things like that, I think. I don't know.
Do they have
I tune out at these events.
Mechanical bull riding?
It's probably bumper cars. Who knows? Anyway, the reason we're doing it there is because obviously it's a big venue, but it's within walking distance of the hotels most people will probably be staying at if they're in from out of town. And if you're from Microsoft or whatever, you live in the area, you know Bellevue. I mean, Bellevue is very simple to get around. So
everybody knows her. Bellevue. Oh, it's a city. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a city. Yeah.
It's the near Build Redmond. Blogger Bash in Bellevue for bowling?
Yes, yep. All of those.
Bully for you.
But here's the thing.
Can I give a shout out to one other party people might want to know about there? So the day before our party, if you can't get into our party, or even if you want to just go to two parties, there's another good party. The night before the Build Blogger Bash, there's the Deep Fried Bites party, also at Lucky Strike. And they're selling tickets, too, so you could go to that one as well.
Lucky Strike twice in 1 week. It's like hell on earth.
Is there just one venue in all of Redmond? Is that it?
Yes. It's the only good venue.
Well, it was right. It was either that or the Chick-fil-A down the street.
Oh, no.
It's Bellevue. It's not. Well, we could go to, like, Daniel's Broiler, but then it would be $120 a head, so.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. So this week has turned into an absolute disaster. So I'm going to have to go to New York on Thursday for this event, but because they're going to be doing the launch event, that is, the 25th.
We should do that live on the show. We should cover that on the show.
Okay, but it's going to be late at night. Yeah, okay.
Actually, it's late at night. Well, the show's...
Yep. Okay.
We don't know.
We don't know. Show's at 1 p.m.
Well, but we know
time.
There's going to be a midnight aspect to it, right? There'll be some event, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is, Mary Jo lives in New York. I'm going to New York, so we should have some kind of a...
thing.
A get-together, a party, whatever. You know, last time around when Microsoft launched Windows 7, we had a party. You know, they had those launch party things. We did that at a bar somewhere in New York on the west side. I think if not, it was lower west side, right? Something ice-related? I don't remember. Do you remember where it was?
It was, I think, the Arctic Bar because they had 7 beers. We picked it since it was Windows 7.
Look at my memory working sort of there. So anyway.
There was ice and penguins.
I knew there was ice.
There were penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if they don't have a party, whatever, we'll have an event. We'll do something. We'll do like a tweet up or a get together, whatever it is. We'll have a party. And then Mary Jo and I both will have to fly to Redmond over the weekend or to see it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to have to fly to California to go to either Los Angeles or San Francisco, wherever they have it, we don't know, for the Windows Phone 8 launch on Monday. And then Monday, we're going to have to fly back to Seattle, or fly to Seattle, because Tuesday, on is billed, so we can be there Tuesday and Wednesday. But then on Thursday, we have to fly to Las Vegas because we're going to Connections.
Wow.
So yeah. The Tuesday night of build.
Yeah.
Is Tuesday night of build our party? Our party is Tuesday, right? Not Wednesday.
Our party is Tuesday
night.
Yep.
So now for me, originally Microsoft was going to have a server reviewers workshop thing the following week, but now they've canceled that, I think. Or was it the week before? It doesn't matter. They're not having it. So my original plan was to spend more time in Redmond. Just because I don't get out as much as I used to, because they do all this virtual stuff where they come to me now.
And where the Lucky Strike is.
That's because Lucky Strike is. Right. So I'm actually going to fly back to Redmond from Vegas and spend another 3 or 4 days there. Raphael will have moved to that area by then, so I'll probably stay with him. But, I'm going to be gone for like 2 weeks because of this damn thing, all this stuff, you know?
Damn. What are we going to do about the show? You're going to do it from wherever you go?
Yeah, of course.
The show goes on.
All right. The show goes on, obviously. I mean, we may need to the week of build and connections. I think we should probably formally ask you now, since it's early enough. We should probably move it to Friday that week because
we can do that.
Yep. Mary Jo and I have to speak at Connections on Thursday.
Why don't we broadcast your speech?
I know. I thought of that too.
Okay, so that's not a bad idea. I asked...
Will there be profanity?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And I asked...
You're supposed to say, hell yeah.
Yeah. Hells yeah.
Leo. Hells yeah.
I've asked about that possibility.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We'd like to do that. Or we could at least put a portion of it in there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, it's a mess is my point. And...
What day of the... What day is your talk? September... Yeah.
No, that's October
31st.
Actually, that might be November. Is Thursday?
November 1st is a Thursday. So,
November 1st. Yeah.
So it must be November 1st. We'll move Windows Weekly to November 2nd.
Okay. And then Mary Jo is doing a separate talk, are you not, at Connections?
I am.
And when is it? You don't know yet.
We don't know when it is yet. Maybe November 2nd, but it won't conflict with Windows Weekly.
All right. We can move that. You know, the truth is, then I'm going to Australia for a couple of weeks, so I'll be gone.
Oh, wow.
Gone for a bit. Yeah. But we'll move Windows Weekly over.
Wow.
Yeah. I won't be back till the 22nd.
Wow.
I'm not going to want to go anywhere.
Wait a minute.
That's
Thanksgiving.
This is over.
So that'll be my last time. I won't see you until December. After
wow.
That,
oh, wow.
Or something.
This year is just.
This year's gotten by so quickly.
No, it's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. Xbox music, Xbox video. I see an article on the super site for Windows.
So Microsoft sent out an email this week, which is actually what I was referring to from before the show, where people are freaking out because they're getting rid of features from Zune Music as they make this transition to the Xbox services.
They're going to call it Xbox Music?
Yeah. So Microsoft previously announced something called Xbox Music, but they didn't really go into a lot of details about it. We know that there's a subscription service that's attached to Zune called Zune Music Pass.
Right.
This is going to continue. It's called It will be called Xbox Music Pass. They've never actually announced that. I'm just telling you that. I mean, it is happening. There's going to be a SkyDrive-based Cloud Music Collection part of it that will be happening. Obviously, that's going to be a feature of Windows and Windows Phone as well. There's all this stuff happening, but they've been they haven't really discussed it a lot. Zune Video, of course, is going to be replaced by something called Xbox Video. That also is happening, but they've never really announced it. And then they send out this email and they said, "Hey, thanks for being such a great user of Zune over the years. Here's a list of the features we're going to get rid of." You know, and then they're getting rid of a bunch of the social features. They're getting rid of Mixed View, and also, I just forgot the name of it, another type of dynamic playlist that Zune used to create for you. And people are kind of freaking out, as people do, you know. But the thing is, I don't know anyone who uses any of this stuff, you know. I mean, even myself, like, I actually use the Zune. So I use Zune Pass all the time. I don't really use Mixed View all that often.
I like Zune Pass. I thought that was great, but that, then
yeah,
Spotify
it is great.
Kind of replaced it for me. But
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, I still use it. It works fine. It's cool. It works great across all the devices I use and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the Zune HD apps are going away, as you would expect. Channel playlists. Channel playlists are going on. So these are kind of like curated radio style playlists.
Oh, I like the channel playlists. That was my favorite part of the Zune Pass.
Wow.
Seriously? Okay. No, because they'd have like a workout playlist or they'd have, 80s.
Literally just going to say, I think the only reason it existed was for playout playlists.
And I that.
I'm sorry.
Workout playlist.
Workout playlist. Thank you. Work and play.
I thought that was kind of a neat feature. You'd subscribe to the playlist and they'd update it.
Because they'd have music that was of a certain,
tempo.
Beat or whatever. Yeah. So if you were, So that stuff's all going away, Leo. But it's so weird. Like, you get these people really indignantly. They're like, well, I've learned my lesson. I know not to trust Microsoft for my music service.
No. Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, if anyone has learned anything here, it's probably Microsoft, because they've been busy plying away with all this stuff for years and no one ever uses any of it. And I sort of understand the self-righteous indignation stuff. But I mean, the truth is, the Zune brand has not really taken off. The Zune devices never took off. I don't think that these services get a lot of looks from people, even on the Xbox, which is fairly popular. I think when people are moving around in the dashboard and they see Zune there, they're like, what? It doesn't register with them.
Right.
And I think moving this stuff to an Xbox brand makes sense. But I think if you want to just generalize, I would say what they're doing here is very similar to what you see across the board in Windows 8, where when you start something over from scratch, even though, you could make this argument, I don't understand, what are they doing? They're taking this Zune thing and just rebranding it. Why doesn't it all just work? I mean, I think part of the point of this is making this a more realistic service, too, in that they're focusing on the things where they can make money and focusing on the places where people are actually using the service. I think I've told the story years and years ago. I visited the Zune organization in the mysterious Area 51 building they were in, whatever it was. It was this giant hangar that went off to the horizon, and it was full of human beings. It must have been what it was like to visit Next, back before that company was finally sold to Apple, where if you just walked in the building, you thought, this must be the most successful enterprise on earth. There's like thousands of people here.
It's beautiful.
They're making Zune artwork, and they're making those little designs that they used to etch on the outside of the devices. I mean, this is obviously going gangbusters for them. But, outside in real world, no one was actually buying these things. And I think part of the dissolution of the Zune brand is going to be what you're seeing here was, we have to get rid of the stuff that doesn't, that just isn't happening. We don't have the people to do this stuff.
It's somebody in the chat room, Rawls, is saying, hey, some of us did use those features.
Of course.
But what happens is, and this happened with On Live just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which was a company that people liked. Everybody was excited about the technology, but it turned out that the business model just didn't work, that they had to buy enough servers so that anybody who wanted to use it could use it, but only 1,600 people ever used it at the same time. So they were buying huge amounts of extra stuff that it turned out their runway was $5 million a year. It just wasn't viable.
Right.
And that's the problem, is you can look at a airplane hangar full of people working hard. In fact, what that might tell you is, boy, there's a lot of overhead in keeping this stuff alive,
that's
right?
For sure. And they better sell a lot of those custom cases.
Right. And then if nobody buys it, then it's just business. You have to stop doing it. Even if some people love it. And that's the problem, is there are people who love it.
There's always someone who loves it.
Yeah. Right.
And I know that.
It's not enough
of
them.
I'm generalizing here. Some people do use it, but not appreciable numbers of people. That's the problem. It's like Media Center, same thing.
It's just not enough.
There could be a million people using Media Center, whatever the number is, but compared to the 385 million every year who buy a new Windows PC, it's not a lot. And for Xbox, it's just part of the whole thing. I mean, they're going to have a music service, they're going to have the music subscription service, they're going to have a video service. You're going to be able to buy and rent TV shows and movies just like you can now. That stuff's all going to be there.
What about the 10 songs a month that I've been getting?
So they had gotten rid of that some time ago. So I want to say sometime in the past year, for new subscribers to Zune Pass, the price went down slightly per month, but they got rid of the 10 free songs per month.
Yeah.
But if you were getting that,
I bought a
and
bunch.
You continued the subscription.
Right.
You could keep doing it. In other words, you were grandfathered.
Right. And then what happens to those songs? They're still going to be good, right? I can still play them and everything.
Oh yeah, no, they're
MP3. Are they copy protected? They're not DRM.
No, they're not copy protected.
All right. So I own them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now you're glad you do.
Sure.
Right.
I guess. I mean, one of the things I've been doing for the past several months now is, after spending years and years curating and copying from machine to machine my music collection, which is probably in total some 30 gigabytes of space or something. I just kind of said, you know, I'm getting, and of course I do a lot of PC testing, and that was part of the impetus.
I know completely where you're going with this one.
I said, screw this. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I set up a device. I download a couple of my favorite albums on, you know, using ZoomPass, and that's the end of it. I just stopped thinking about it.
That's why I like Spotify. I don't have to have a music collection anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting old or something. I just don't care anymore. I wasted so much bandwidth on this, I mean, over the years. And I know people do and will continue to do that, but I just don't feel like it's a good use of my time.
Organizing. And, you know, that's a hobby. It's like stamp collecting. Oh, I got to get the tags right. I got the album art right. Yep. It's all organized. It's all beautiful.
Oh, by the way, if you're that kind of person, don't get Windows 8. You're going to hate Windows 8.
Really?
Because something I have agonized over now for the past several weeks is those built-in apps, the way they are right now, Xbox Music, speaking for music, or the Photos app, those things do a terrible job of letting you access your own content where it is and then doing it correctly. I mean, as sort of a general thing I could say to people, if you say you've ripped a bunch of DVDs and you want to use Xbox Video to watch them, if you don't mind them being misfiled, if you don't mind the album art not being there and all that kind of stuff, you'll be fine. But if that stuff matters to you, it's going to drive you insane that that doesn't work. And you can re-tag them all you want in Zune, which is kind of the general advice about how you make that stuff work. It's never going to be right. And on the music side, I just wanted to test this. I have 10 albums of my own, various artists, put them on the hard drive, go into Xbox Music. One of them is called Unknown Album, you know. It looks fine in Windows Media Player. It looks fine in Zune. It looks fine in iTunes. And in Xbox Music, Unknown Album. Why?
Why?
I don't know. I can't fix it.
That's the name of the artist.
Yeah.
And a good name for a band.
No, it's going to infuriate you. And by the way, I know that this stuff will get better over time.
Right.
But if you actually care about that kind of stuff and that drives you insane, you might want to give Windows 8 a couple months.
But I could still use my Media Monkey, right, or my third-party tool.
You could use whatever you want, but it's not going to fix it in Xbox Music. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just broken right now. I don't know how else to say it. It's not really geared toward that, though. Xbox Music works best when you're going to buy stuff from the Xbox store, you know, the music store that Microsoft runs, right? I mean, that stuff will probably always work great. Better yet, you have a music pass. You can go in there and just stream or download stuff from the store. That will work great. But if you have your own music, anyone who has their own music has experienced the tears and pain of trying to properly tag all that stuff. It just got fun again with Windows 8. So please enjoy those couple of months of your life. It's going to be miserable.
And enjoy the musical stylings of Unknown Album.
Exactly. Oh, that's the best. It's like when you upload stuff to a cloud service and one song out of an album is not listed as a song from that album. It's listed as onesongtitle.mp3. Like,
oh, I hate that.
Seriously. You know, why?
Got all the rest of it. Why didn't you get that?
Yeah. Can't explain. Sorry, mini rant
there. That's, by the way, The Who, 1967, I believe.
Right.
I have the album art right here.
I'm going to go look at this now and see if it's fixed itself. This kind of thing drives me crazy. I know it hasn't. I don't even know why.
Those people are not going to be happy.
Yeah, Unknown Album. That's great. Okay.
What is, ladies and gentlemen, what is active reading? And why is Microsoft care?
It's a great question. What is active reading?
You wrote it right here. That's why I'm reading it.
I did. I wrote about it because I found this job listing this week on the Microsoft site about the Office division working on some new V1 product, version 1 product, where it's about active reading. And, you know, people are speculating.
Is that a program or is it a concept?
It's a concept. So it's an idea that you could kind of curate a lot of different documents, including books, office documents. It may have something to do with self-publishing. It may have something to do with the Barnes & Noble partnership that Microsoft forged earlier this year. The job description was vague enough so that we don't really know, but there's definitely something coming, I would say, from the Office team that involves this concept of active reading. I don't think it's something we'll see, you know, this fall, but it's hard to tell exactly when because they're saying it's something they want to partner with Windows 8 team on.
I wonder, you know, Apple has readability built into its browser. Of course, there's Instapaper, and there's actually sites that do this. Mm-hmm. Pocket. Right. I wonder if it's like that, maybe.
Could be a locker for articles
that you want to read later, kind of thing. Or
Microsoft Word in the latest version is being recast as a kind of a reader app, right? They've had a reading mode for a couple of versions now, but you know they're really going after this. It reads PDFs, you can do all that kind of stuff. I mean, isn't this like using a jumbo jet to, you know, till your garden? I mean, like I want to read a document. You know, I want to read something quickly. It's like let's launch Word. You know, like. Let's bring up the biggest possible application to do the smallest possible thing, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I wonder if it isn't. I think it might be more. Remember that thing, codename Maria, which almost looked like the Microsoft Courier? So it's like one note taken to the next level. It's like you can annotate, you can put things in the way you do in OneNote, you know, capture images, capture your own notes. Have all different kinds of formats, use a stylus or not use a stylus. I think it might be something more along those lines. So like OneNote on steroids almost.
That's interesting.
We're going to be in for an interesting little period of time here where what happens when Office 2015 or 16 or whatever it's called is recast as a series of Metro style apps that don't do everything that the current suite does, right? What if they scale back? You know, we all know what the outcry has been so far over, you know, the perceived limitations in multitasking in Windows 8 and how, you know, Metro apps are slightly retarded compared to regular applications. And what happens when they do that to Office, right? Mm-hmm. Or we could look at the people who have complained about Server Manager in Windows Server 2012, right? The most powerful version of Windows Server yet. And they've got this kind of bizarre, inscrutable, Metro-inspired UI that they expect admins to live in all day long. And most people have looked at that thing have been like, seriously? I mean, they're just horrified by it. You know, there's the potential for backlash here if they're not careful, you know, as they make this transition.
Well, that sounds like that could be the theme of the show, frankly.
Potential for backlash?
Potential for backlash as they make this transition. In every respect.
Sure.
There's a potential. Because you know what? Humans don't like change.
I know. I abhor change.
Yeah. Well, you're human, I guess. We have proof positive.
So they say.
Yeah. It's the first evidence, but I think that's right. Now we know.
Now, remember when Steve Ballmer said, what was the biggest, riskiest bet for Microsoft in the near term? He said it was Windows, the next version of Windows. Now
he was right.
We kind of see why.
Yeah.
Right?
He was right.
Right, because they might go marching forward and then realize no one came with them.
Yeah, over that hill.
You know.
Well, so, how big a risk is it? We've certainly talked a lot about that. I've always thought it's a fairly hefty bet they're making here.
Yep. Yeah. Well, this is a company that uses the phrase, you know, bet the company at the drop of a hat. But actually, in this case.
They actually did.
I think, yes. And it's not just because Windows is one of the biggest businesses at Microsoft. I mean, business is the, I'm sorry, Mike, hello. Having a trouble with the words here today. Windows is the business by which all other businesses at Microsoft roll off of. You know, it's the beginning of everything. It's the top of the mountain. I mean, even if it's not as big as, say, Office right now or whatever, it is still the basis for everything that they do and all of the money they make. It all comes out of Windows originally. So, if Windows fails, Microsoft becomes a very different company. I mean, I think they could become fairly successful being a provider of software applications and solutions that run in the cloud and on other platforms, yes. But that is a vastly different and smaller company than the Microsoft we know today. So that would be horrific.
Yeah.
For Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The time's rapidly approaching when we're going to find out exactly.
I just saw the phrase. I'm sorry. The reason I paused there, just so you don't think I had a mini stroke. I just saw the phrase, just like Obama, in our show notes.
I thought, put that in there.
I thought for the briefest moment that we had been hacked.
Somebody's gotten into the show notes. Oh, my God. Ask something. Us anything just like
I just looked
Obama.
Down to that and I saw it. I froze for a second. Like, why would that be there? Okay.
President Obama, as most of everybody listening knows, did a Reddit Ask Me Anything yesterday.
Right.
It practically brought Reddit to its knees. I liked the headline, though, in Gawker yesterday.
Which was?
I can't remember the exact details, but something like President gives interview to teenage girl porn site or something like that. It was so, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. They were talking about Reddit, but you would never known that. Moving along. IE10, I see on the list. IE10. What about IE10?
We need to talk about this because this question comes up like daily.
It's going to be the IE in Windows 8 or?
It is. But there's also a version for Windows 7. Okay. There is one.
Okay.
Why people are so confused is Microsoft, yes, there is. And the reason people are confused is Microsoft had this code base going for the IE10 for Windows 7 last year, and then they just abruptly stopped updating it. So we haven't had an update to that code base.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I just rephrase what you said in a slightly more meaningful way? Microsoft,
yes,
this is confusing because Microsoft, period.
Okay.
You don't have
to say no more.
I think we just stop there. That's...
Thanks for the edit. That's a good edit. Yeah.
Say no more.
but yeah, so why it got even more confusing this week was a Microsoft page somewhere out there that Paul saw said, and there wasn't going to be an IE10 for Windows 7 after all. And then when Paul showed it to me, they had changed the page so that it said yet. they changed it. So there is one coming, people, but we just don't know when. We keep asking. We both keep asking. I saw somebody from Neowent say today, I asked them and I even tried to bribe them with alcohol, but they still wouldn't tell me when IE10 for Windows 7 is coming.
That was another moment I thought I had a mini stroke because Mary Jo pinged me and said, you wrote that this is not happening, but I mean, where did you get this from? And I said, oh, it's on a Microsoft page. I can find it right now.
I'll show you right here. Oh,
and then I found it and it says very clearly, yet. And I thought, oh, my God, did I mess this up?
No, they added
and,
it. They added it.
No, actually, someone took a screenshot of it the way it was originally.
Uh-huh.
They changed it without saying anything.
Thank God for screenshots. am I correct in assuming that Windows 8 already has IE10? The IE in Windows 8 is IE10?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Both the Metro and the desktop version.
That's one browser, Leo. I don't know what you mean by that. That's just
Let's
one
reapply
That's
your
just,
Microsoft is confusing line here.
It's just IE, Leo. Why would you imply that that was two different things?
Well,
it looks so confused,
has different capabilities, but if it's the same thing, I believe you. I believe you, Paul.
I refer to it as two browsers, one brain.
that's probably a technically accurate description of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll stick with IE9 for the nonce.
For now, who knows? I don't. Why? And again, this falls under those.
Does
great
it even
categories.
Matter? Like, I mean, really?
I don't know. But what? Why wouldn't you just say what you're going to do? Is it coming out October 26th? You know, I bet it is. But why wouldn't you just say that? I mean, what's?
So you think yet? When yet meant not this month?
You know, for all of the baloney around Windows Vista and all the one thing that those guys got right was this notion of clarity. That they felt like clarity was important. And I think in Microsoft's mad rush to disavow themselves of everything about Windows Vista, that they have lost clarity. And this is a great example of that. There's no reason, business or otherwise, not to just come out and say, this is what we're doing and when.
Right.
There's no reason not to. It doesn't hurt anything. People are not going to stop downloading IE9. Maybe they don't know. Yeah.
Maybe
then
they don't
say
know.
That. Say that.
Yeah. No, we don't know doesn't sound good.
But what we do know is that one of the leaked roadmaps from earlier this year, it showed IE10 for Windows 7 coming out at the same time as Windows 8 RTM.
Okay, so October 26th.
So,
oh, wait a minute. Well, no, we've had that.
Yeah, right. We already had that. So we don't know if IE10 for Windows 7 RTM'd at that same time. They won't answer that question either. We keep asking that too.
Not to mention the fact that the version for Windows 7 is going to be awesome because it doesn't have that weird Metro side add-on thing. That, you know?
Right.
It only has one brain.
It's like one browser, one brain.
One Perfect. Browser, one brain.
Or what we used to call a browser.
Oh, Paul.
I'm sorry. It's too easy. I'm like a wind-up toy, Leo.
I'm from Microsoft, and I'm here to help. All right. We're going to let's do our picks of the week and our tips of the week. And in this case, the tip is help.
I need help. Clearly, if you've been listening to the show, you would agree that
Paul
I need help.
Paul needs your help. Now, Paul has written. How many books have you written, Paul?
I don't know anymore. It's 25-ish.
Jeez, Louise. And how many times have you said, I will never write another book?
25-ish.
Every time, as long as I've known you.
And he even told me this time, he's like, Mary Jo, if you see me about to do another book, will you please strangle me before I say I'm going to do it?
Mary Jo, he told me the same thing when Windows 7 Secrets came out. He told me the same thing when Windows Vista Secrets came out. He's been telling me that.
Basically, my career has been one giant cry for help.
No!
Not again!
They keep pulling me in.
Well, one of the things I don't like about... Well, there's a lot of things I don't like about writing books, which is why, of course, we have these conversations.
It's underpaid, overworked. I mean, it really is difficult.
Yeah. And it's one of those wait and then hurry up things. And, you know, usually end up writing it in a spaz of, you know, explosive month or two or whatever.
Yeah, death march, we call it.
Yeah. So I wanted to do things differently, really differently. And I wanted to do it in a way that would maybe engage other people and you know, get feedback, because you write a book in kind of an isolation chamber, you know. And so I wanted to pick a topic that would have a finite amount of stuff to write, like not office. You know, an office book could be 1,200 pages long. So what I decided to do was write a book on my own outside of the publishing industry about Windows Phone 8.
Oh, Paul, I'm loving this. This is great. Are you going to let the public write it for you and just take the money?
No.
And the credit?
No. No, Leo, there's no money. Actually, I went to Raphael and I said, listen, I said, you know, you've been my co-author on these books and you're of course welcome to join me on this book. I said, I'll offer you whatever terms you want. You can have 50% of the $0 I'm going to make. You can have 75% of the $0.
You can have it all.
It's up to you. But what I want to do is basically make...
You're like the Walter White of book publishing is what you are.
Well, I'm what I am is an idiot, Leo, and I'll get to that.
Straight out of Breaking Bad. And Raphael is your Jesse Pinkwater, isn't he? He's just you manipulate him to do exactly whatever you want.
Yeah, except for one thing. So I'll be writing the book. So I'm going to write the book, but I'm going to publish it as I write it, not in big blocks, but literally in little bits and pieces. People can provide feedback to it. They can provide feedback to every bit of it. The structure of the book, the table of contents, the topics we cover, the writing, whatever it is, you know, the whole thing. And I didn't put this in the show notes. I apologize. But the website I've set up for this is windowsphonebook.com. And
it's for Windows Phone 8, right?
Windows Phone 8 specifically.
Because you already wrote the Windows Phone 7 book. So
yeah, the impetus for this is that one of the problems with technology books, aside from the fact that nobody buys them, is that you can't, you know, you publish it and it's over. And it's the technology gets updated, but the book never gets updated, you know. Windows 7 Secrets has been popular enough that, you know, we actually got a royalty check of some kind. And, of course, this makes them less likely to update the book.
Right.
Because now all those books will be sitting out there that will have to be returned. They don't want to do that. And I just want to avoid that kind of a thing. And so we'll see how this goes.
So will this be a wiki? How are you going to do this?
I'm actually going to I'm not going to publish the book to the site. I'm going to publish a document that you can download from the site. So in the early days, at the beginning, the next thing I'm going to do is publish like a rough table of contents. Huh? But after that, as I start writing the book, I'll just publish probably a Word document. I'll just throw it up. It'll be little bits and pieces. You can see how much I write in a day, how much, you know, whatever I do. And I will let people...
I love it that you're using Squarespace for this, by the way.
Great use of
Squarespace.
I will eventually update the website so that it looks like a site and not like a, you know, a blank template. But I wanted to focus on the stuff.
You know what? This is highly functional. This is great.
So, if you want to be involved, just pay attention to the site. And as stuff gets uploaded, you can provide feedback and we'll kind of take it from there. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And so, you know, one of the many reasons I'm an idiot, by the way, aside from the fact that I'm doing this for free, my intention is, as this book gets towards some state of completion, is that it will be made available in every single format you can possibly imagine. So however you want to get it, you can get it. If you want to actually buy a paper version of it from Amazon, they have that service. You don't have to pay for it. Right. There's nothing I can do about that. But
well, you should. And you're going to have a tip jar, right? People could. I bet you make more money.
I do not have a tip jar. But no, because I think for this one, it's a learning process for me. I want to see how it goes. I want to see how engaged people are. And, you know, in the future, you know, maybe things will be different.
I think this could be the future of
this is my donation to the... I love Windows Phone. And
thank you.
I think of this as a contribution to that community, you know, and people right. can take it and do, you know, whatever they want with it, except for republish it, of course, and or sell it. But, right. you know, we'll figure that out, too. Oh, and there'll be native app versions, too. I'm going to do Windows 8 apps, a Windows 8 app, I should say, and a like a Windows Phone 8 app as well, so you can actually access it from the device.
If you do decide to take a tip jar, looking at this site, we're thinking of doing something with this. We use PayPal. And there's this new thing called WePay that makes it really easy. You could do this with Squarespace. It's just a line of JavaScript.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, by the way, part of the rationale between not doing a tip jar thing is, I know people have been pretty positive about this overall. Obviously, I would be nervous about anyone giving me money, you know, when there's nothing there yet. So, I want to see how this goes. I've written so many books, I get it. I know how it works. I'm curious to see how writing it like this is going to go, because there's not so much of a deadline as there would be with a regular book, you know. I just found out, actually, the latest book I wrote, Windows 8 Secrets, is out now. So the boxes of these books are arriving at my house and at Raphael's house today. And Amazon will begin, you know, we'll have them in stock any day now, and we'll be shipping them any day now, too. So that happens. But, you know, what's going to happen is Microsoft's going to update that Xbox Music app that I told you was so terrible, and it's going to be better. You know, and there's no good way to update the book.
Right.
And so this is an attempt to.
So it'll always be online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But if you order a copy, that freezes it in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, well, you can download, you can download it at any time.
Again.
You can
get
it in an ebook format, whatever you want. But I mean, if you want the paper version, I guess I would say to you, wait for.
Right.
1.0, whatever we
can. Wait till you say it is done.
Even the book's title is up for grabs, right? I mean, I don't have a name for this thing.
You can't use the secrets, right? Because
I can't use the secrets, but right. I will. We can call it whatever. I mean, I think of it as Windows Phone book, but I mean, obviously, right. It has to have some title. We'll get to that too. So everything is
Paul Thurrott, written by Paul Thurrott, the Windows Phony.
The Windows Phony. Yes.
How about that?
I called my friend from France one time a Francophony, which is kind of a double-edged.
Yes. Good. That's exciting. Good luck, Paul. Windowsphonebook.com. Yeah. All right. And your software pick of the week?
Yeah. So Microsoft has a bunch of new Microsoft mice and keyboards coming out soon. There's like that Sculpt line of devices and also the Wedge lineup of devices. And I have them here and we'll review them. But regardless, they're existing mice, and I'm going to forget the names of them exactly, but I want to say the Explorer Touch Mouse, which is the one you can see on your screen right now, and also the other Touch Mouse. I forget the names of these things. But Microsoft has a couple of different Touch Mice that are out now, and they also have other mice, you know, like the Explorer Blue Track Mouse and their various keyboards and so forth. Anyone who has installed these things in Windows knows that you can optionally go up and go to the Microsoft hardware website and download the software drivers, the IntelliType and IntelliPoint, I guess, would be the mouse one, if I'm not mistaken. But now they have this new software called the Microsoft Mouse and Keyboard Center, which is kind of like a Metro type app, although it's actually a desktop app. And it allows you to really fine-grained way, control all of the aspects of how these devices work. And for Windows 8 in particular, this is going to be particularly important because you can control how the gestures work on the touch-based devices. And so mostly mice, I guess, but a lot. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. I guess like at least three of their mice types will have multi-touch gesture support, and that's a big deal in Windows 8. And this software is available now. You can get it for Windows 7. It works fine in Windows 7, I believe, but it works great in Windows 8 as well. And it's a great way to really control how all of these things work, even now without without the multi-touch gesture stuff in there quite yet. I think that's going to be coming in a future update, but. It's definitely a step up from the old way of doing things through those IntelliPoint, I don't know, whatever they were called. Really, really nice software and a really nice way to just configure your mouse or keyboard exactly the way you want it, regardless of which model you have. It has to be a Microsoft one, but
cool. And it's free.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah,
it says Windows 8, but it will work on 7.
I believe it works. I hope I'm not wrong about that. I want to say it works on Windows 7. But
it looks a little Metro-y.
It is very Metro-y. Yes, it is. Metroween, perhaps.
Metroween. I think that's a planet with two stars.
Yes.
Metroween. Exactly. Our enterprise pick of the week, which comes automatically prepackaged with our buzzword of the week.
Yeah, I couldn't miss the buzzword of the week on this one because it was just too funny. But anybody was watching VMworld this week? VMware's big show.
A lot of people in town for it. In fact, a lot of our studio audience here for it.
Yeah. They were talking about something called the Software-Defined Data Center, SDD. Microsoft also is talking now because of VMware about the Software-Defined Data Center. And what the heck is this thing? It just means virtualizing more of your stuff. That's
right.
All it means.
Right.
And so VMware is like, everything we're doing is software-defined. That's it. Like, everything.
Yeah,
and what it just means is all of your services are going to be deliverable as virtualized components. So Microsoft's in there, too, of course, with Windows Server 2012 and the new System Center Service Pack 1, System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. They're doing the same thing, too. Surprise. But the reason I made Windows Server my enterprise pick of the week this week is next week, on September 4th, is the official launch of Windows Server 2012. And they're doing this as a virtual event. You can watch online starting at 8 a.m. Pacific on September 4th. And this is also the same day that if you were interested in buying or downloading the final Windows Server 2012 bits, you'll be able to do that on September 4th. So that's why it's this week's pick of the week.
Yay.
Yay.
Just in time for Labor Day.
Yes.
And our code name of the week means...
Yeah, code name pick of the week's
juice.
A fun one. Yes, Zumo. So Zumo, I found out from some of my readers this week, is fruit juice in Spanish.
It's not that clear beer stuff that all the kids
not
are...
That.
No, okay.
That garbage.
That horrible.
Not that. No. This Zumo stands for, if you think about, you got to think about the name, Windows Azure Mobile Services. So you'd pick up the Z and the U from Azure and the mobile and services. So you get Zumo.
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 Zumo. Azure. Zumo.
Well, in case you're curious what Windows Azure Mobile Services is, I'm just ignoring these guys.
Yeah, please. I think you're smart, Mary Jo. Just pretend we're not here.
I'm just going to pretend you guys aren't here and keep going.
Windows
Azure Mobile Services is the replacement for these Azure toolkits that Microsoft was building. So it's a way, if you're an app developer and you want to develop apps for iOS, for Android, for Windows Phone, for Windows, for Mac OS, you can sign up for a Windows Azure account. Even one of the free 90-day accounts you can use this with, and you connect up to it, and you can start more easily creating apps that let you store data up in the Azure cloud and make use of Azure, other Azure services as well. So it's a new, easier, packaged up way to use Windows Azure if you're an app developer. Zumo, also known as Windows Azure Mobile Services.
Zumo.
Not Sumo.
Not Zima.
No, he can't even handle the word ative. Why are you throwing this at him?
Ative. Ative Sumo. All right. I think we're done here. I think one guy in the chat room says you should ask Paul and Mary Jo what they think of the Apple Samsung case. And I thought it was really good that we kind of avoided that for an entire show.
Obviously this case has repercussions across the industry. I mean, Microsoft is protected from it because they have
They're indemnified.
A cross-licensing agreement with Apple and have apparently agreed not to copy each other's products. So, Windows Phone and Windows kind of go off on their trajectory and Apple and iOS goes off on theirs. And I think that's, the rationale behind that story we had earlier about Samsung and how they might be looking to get more into the Windows side of the fence to kind of protect themselves from this in the future. There's no doubt that Samsung and Android in general has copied Apple fairly egregiously. I mean, I guess the only question is whether there's a legal case to be made for that, and maybe that was just settled, wasn't it? I don't know that Samsung has ever had, or Google in general has ever had an original idea. And I think that a court or a jury just found that,
There you go.
There are side stories. I mean, I find it interesting that the judge granted them a preliminary injunction against their tablets, and the tablet was the one thing that was found.
They got off the hook. Yeah.
It's a little interesting, and it suggests that had the jury not given that type of verdict, that the judge might have come down pretty hard on Samsung regardless, which she warned to do it when she would do it at one point.
Yeah, I wonder if it's really going to help Windows Phone. Like, that's my big wonder here, because so many people were speculating right after the judgment. Like, so, okay, so maybe this will help Windows Phone indirectly, because
I don't see how.
You know,
I don't get that either.
I mean, the one way it could, it would take a lot of things all kind of coming together. But if Samsung suddenly said, you know what, okay, we're going to go with Windows Phone and we're going to dump Android. We're going to dump everything else.
That was what the implication
you
was.
You did this to us.
Right. But right. I don't see that.
I don't see them totally dumping it. But, you know, I think it was really interesting that Samsung was allowed, quote unquote, to be the first company that announced a Windows Phone 8 device. Yeah. I mean, everyone thought it was going to be Nokia, right? And suddenly, here's Samsung running to the head of the line.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if there's success in court announcing a new phone. Not based on that.
I mean, the Windows Phone I have is a Samsung Focus, so they're not new to the Windows Phone platform. Yeah. But
I will say this. I've actually always liked the form factor that they have, very thin and light and everything. Some people have talked about, you know, that kind of paper thin back and how that seems cheap to them. I don't get that at all. I really like these devices. And you know, having owned this Nokia phone, which I like a lot, but the thing is like this really heavy, big brick, you know, compared to the Samsung Focus S, which is like super thin and light. It's like the difference between a brick and a feather, you know. You know, the Nokia has LTE, but there's no reason that Samsung couldn't sell LTE.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is basically the hardware, I would guess, is pretty close to a Galaxy S2.
The one you have, but the new one, they've been saying, that's basically a Galaxy S3. So,
right. So I mean,
I look at the Galaxy S3 and I think, if I could have that in Windows Phone, I mean, yeah.
They're efficiently processing their hardware and, you know, they just put a new operating system on it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it sounds good to me.
Yeah. Why not? And then, but you know, I don't think they'll give up Android, but it just means they have one more thing they can do.
And the other thing is, really hostile,
maybe that would be a good thing for them.
I had been using the Samsung Ultrabook I mentioned earlier, and 13-inch version, very standard, you know. And I thought, you know, I wish someone would make a 15-inch Ultrabook, like a real 15-inch Ultrabook. Obviously, this new MacBook Pro is like a 15-inch machine, but it's thicker and heavier. It's not really the same category as an Ultrabook, price-wise, either. And Samsung makes a 15-inch Ultrabook, which I just bought. It's fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah. It's exactly what I wanted. This is, as you envision, like a MacBook Air type machine, but 15 inches, this is it. It's exactly what I want. Yeah, really, really nice.
So Ali Robe is telling me that at the Samsung event, let's see if I can find this link, or Nokia had a sign that said, welcome. Well, let me see if I can find it. Mary Jo, you're smiling. I think you knew.
Yeah, I saw it. And those welcome to the Windows Phone world or whatever.
Samsung. Nokia,
by the way, all right, I saw that picture and I assumed it was Photoshop. Are you telling me that that's real?
The Verge says it's real.
I think it's real. It was because it was tweeted by Nokia PR. I think it's
real. The mistake here is this is the same thing Apple said when IBM got into the PC business. Welcome, IBM. Seriously. Yeah, you may not be so... Nokia, you may not be so happy.
I noticed Apple didn't take out an ad in the Wall Street Journal welcoming Google to the mobile handset market. You know?
No, no. I guess it looks like it's 4.8 inches, so it's the same size as a Galaxy S3. So I guess it is probably very similar hardware. Yeah. All right.
I want one.
Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her great blog, All About Microsoft, logically enough. Paul Thurrott is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And you could also go to windowsphonebook.com to keep an eye on what he's up to. We tried to tie him to the mast, Mary Jo, but he broke free once again.
I know. I tweeted him, are you insane?
Are you mad, man? Are you crazy? He was doing inactive reading at the time and paid no attention at all.
Maybe I'll use Microsoft's new active reading format to publish my book.
Yes.
Yes. We do this show every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. Love it if you watch live. As you can see, we do interact with the chat room quite a bit, just like Obama did. And we also offer on-demand versions for download right after the fact on twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly, or subscribe. It's best if you subscribe, then you don't miss an episode in iTunes or the Zune music player, soon to be Xbox music player, and all of that. Thank you, guys, and we will see you next week on Windows Weekly.
Next week, I guess I'm going to be bleary-eyed and in my pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be in New Zealand. Ooh.
Ooh. Supposedly, well, these guys have hooked me up with some kind of an excellent
ISDN
recording studio of some kind. No, it's right like on. 28 megabit something.
Uh-huh.
I believe it is half of all the bandwidth that comes into the country.
You will look better in New Zealand than you've ever looked before.
we'll see.
But. This should be good. We have visiting us a couple of Britishers, Tim and Mel Hardwick. Tim is from the Channel Islands, Guernsey.
Yep.
Wonderful cream.
I heard you ask him if he went there for the money or because it was cheaper.
He says he went there because it's tax-free. There's no value added.
It still
tax.
Can't be cheaper there.
Is it cheaper there than,
say... It has
than,
to be
say,
incredibly expensive there.
He says it's cheaper than the UK, wow. than the mainland, because but you would have to ship food and everything in. Yeah. Lamb is cheap. There's lots of lamb. And wool. Wool is cheap. But Twinings tea is very expensive. Is tea expensive there? Because you have to ship it in, don't you? Or fly it in. Amazon is cheap. Because there's no VAT, Amazon. Oh, that's interesting. Look at there. Paul in shorts. Paul, put your pants on. Paul.
I hear one joke about how I just came out of the closet.
In shorts.
At wow. least I had pants on.
Sort of.